Here we go!
Brothers, sisters, siblings, welcome to Penn Sunday School. We are broadcasting from Show Creator Studio South here in Las Vegas. And that's a city in Nevada. This week we are recording a little bit early so that Penn can go do an event for the AIDS Walk, which last I checked is about helping the prevention of AIDS, right? And it's not a pro-AIDS charity. Here he is, Preaching the Love, brought to you by Masterclass, Penn Jillette.
Swung into the last moment.
I almost did.
I forgot to tell you, they're all nuns. But that last moment in the joke when you can get the piece of information in and still tell the joke, right there. Oh, they're nuns. Oh, right before
Masterclass.
That. Masterclass. Right before Masterclass. Masterclass. And that's lifelong learning, and yeah. You should be doing Masterclass. But you have to pace yourself. If you listen to this podcast, pace yourself.
Mm.
Get together with everybody else who listens to the podcast and say, if we want to keep the podcast sponsored by Masterclass, we have to make them think that the podcast is working to sell subscriptions. If they all do it in 1 week and then it goes to nothing, they'll stop sponsoring it.
Oh, good point.
So you want to call everybody and say, okay, you people go this week, get your Masterclass with 15% off by going to masterclass.com/pen. That's right. We'll tell you more about it later. Let's talk about not sleeping. How's your sleeping?
I recently just started sleeping a little better.
Good. Are you usually insomniac?
I feel like I can catch it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like if I go past a certain hurdle, I go, I'm up all night.
I have a theory on sleep that's not correct.
Okay.
And is based on nothing.
Right.
But I think I've said this before, but I think about it when I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I always have this idea that, like, I'm going to do a contemporary reference. Like Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, when you would say a secret word and the duck would come down and give you extra money. You know about this?
No.
Well, when Groucho did You Bet Your Life, his game show, I think it was a game show, kind of. It was mostly he brought people out and insulted them.
Mm-hmm.
But they could win money. One of the things they did was they had a duck that was a duck doll that was... Sometimes I get a word, and I just like saying it. That word now is duck.
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 Duck. I know that's not the way I usually say it.
Right.
But for some reason, duck feels really good in my mouth.
All right.
Duck. Got a good mouth. Duck. Duck.
Duck is... you went back. No. Go back one. You nailed
duck.
It on the...
Duck.
Nope. Too far.
I've lost it. But for that brief shining moment,
you had
the
nailed.
One word I ever said in my life properly was the word duck. No.
Close.
Should we go back to me saying water and bottle, which is what the crew always makes fun of me for? Bottle.
Bottle?
Bottle. I say bottle.
You say bottle?
Give me a bottle of water.
Out of the garage.
Garage.
Like a mirage.
This duck doll... Mm-hmm. I think it's duck doll that I was enjoying. This duck doll with a painted mustache like Groucho's would come down and give you...
I have vague memories of this, but I don't... It's not...
Give you $500.
Ah.
Okay? And there was no control over it. They had just decided before the show what the secret word was.
Yeah.
And if the person happened to say the secret word, the duck came down and gave him $500. Which is pretty great.
Yeah.
Pretty great. You know, and luckily the word wasn't usually hegemony. You know, it was a word you could actually say.
It's
a common word, a word you use every day. And Groucho would also say, which I also loved, and I've always wanted to make part of my vocabulary, but I've never really let it sneak in.
Mm-hmm.
He would say, well, you're a lovely couple, but now it's time to play the game. Whenever he gets sick of someone talking to him,
yeah,
he would just say in the middle of them talking, well, you're a lovely couple, but now it's time to play the game. Because it was usually a couple of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've always wanted to do that when someone's telling a story. Well, you're a lovely couple, but now it's time to play the game. What's interesting, the many things interesting about Groucho.
Yeah.
But, you know, Groucho wore a grease paint mustache, a big fat mustache in his upper lip, right? Mm-hmm. Grease paint. And a big black grease-painted mustache. And then as he got older, he just grew the mustache in, and it became a real mustache.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He had Pinocchio on his upper lip. It became a real boy. But kind of like You Bet Your Life. This is one of these things that I do really often. And my children have not articulated it this way.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it annoys them. They just haven't found a way to say what it is that annoys them. I like to take something that people understand perfectly and explain it to them in a way that is accurate, but more complicated and harder to understand.
Got it.
So I could just have said what I was going to say about the secret word and sleeping.
Yeah.
But I did this whole thing about Groucho that is in no way illuminating to what I was going to say. It illuminates it in no way, gives it no nuance whatsoever.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to tell you that I'm aware of that.
Okay.
Okay. Just in case you wanted to point this out as one of my failings and say, you know, there's this thing you do, Penn. And I would say, yeah, I fucking know that.
Is this the, or we're going to do that this podcast? We're going to point out each other's failings?
Oh, no. We have no intention of doing that. That'll be coming up on a very special 38-hour podcast.
It's the last one, but it's
38 hours. It's 38 hours, Matt. Then it's followed by 53 hours, Pat. And then there's like 30-second ready, which is, he's fucking crazy. And we're done. We don't understand a word he says ever.
Yeah.
I used to think, I don't really think this. I don't believe this, okay? But it's something that, you know, you have those things that, especially late at night, that you think about that you know aren't true,
yeah,
and don't get you anywhere, but they have some sort of poetic meaning to you.
Mm-hmm.
I have this thought that when you're a certain age, the universe assigns you a word, okay, and says to you, you will fall asleep whenever you think this word.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never heard this.
No one else thinks
this
it.
This is just
because it's crazy talk. Yeah. I never read anywhere or anything. And so I lie in bed going, I'm going to think about all these subjects and hope I think about the word that makes me go to sleep. Because, you know, falling asleep is very strange.
Yes.
You can't fall asleep, can't fall asleep, can't fall asleep. Then you're waking up.
Yeah.
And I try to remember what's the last thing I thought before I slept, because I figure if I can remember that, then I can do it again tonight.
It's like a quicker runway.
Yeah. And there's just this word. And people who are insomniacs, you know,
yeah,
their word is a complicated word. They don't think often enough.
Pistachio. Yeah. Pinocchio. Pistachio. Yeah. Pinocchio mustard.
Saskatchewan. Sarsaparilla.
And people who sleep really, really well, like Hitler, I assume.
Yeah, yeah.
The word is like the. That's what Mike Armstrong was, a very, very funny man.
Yeah.
Very, very funny man who writes for Stephen Wright. He's trying for Stephen Wright and wrote Don't Try This at Home with Us. And he's a very, very funny guy. He used to just state outright, I think the worse person you are, the better you sleep. I think that Hitler, because you have no guilt, no problems, just hit the pillow, boom, you're off to sleep. I invaded Poland. So I have been, they give you all these sleep hygiene things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't drink alcohol, covered.
Yeah.
Stay away from caffeine,
mm-hmm,
covered. Go to bed at the same time, fucked up. Don't do that well at all.
That's a tough one.
Okay. Get in a darkened room, don't look at a screen, all those things.
Strike two for me.
Yeah. I try to get better at that, but I sometimes, often, always, in bed, I will watch a little bit of a TV show.
This is where I'm at too.
Yeah.
That's why I laugh, because I'm all over the Taylor Sheridan shows, not because they're the best. It's because they're properly medium.
Now, can you fall asleep while watching TV?
No.
I cannot.
No, I can't.
So I have to watch a show, get in the proper mood, and go to sleep.
This is it. I have to literally, I feel myself fading a little bit, and I go, do I care about this scene at all?
Yeah.
Do I care about what? No, I don't care. What is the result of this conversation? I don't care about it at all. I do an assessing of, there's no plot point here that's keeping me going here.
Well, I just found, I found Bosch Legacy to be wonderful to fall asleep to.
Yeah.
Because I never, ever cared what was going to happen next.
Right.
Ever.
That's the key. It's like, there's good acting. I guess they're talking about something, yeah, but I don't care that much about it.
I guess I enjoyed it.
If they're bad actors, then I can't watch it. I hate that I'm watching bad television.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be good enough that I want to watch it, but also like, and then people be like, what episode are you on? I'm like, I have no idea.
Just go.
I think
my whole problem with sleeping the past 3 nights is Bosch Legacy ended. I finished that up. So I decided to watch something else, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, people, I've always poo-pooed, and I've never used that term before, by the way, and I kind of like it. I've always poo-pooed.
Duck doll.
Duck doll. I've always poo-pooed the duck doll. the idea. Rural jurors. I've always, that's fun to say, too.
Yeah.
I've always poo-pooed the idea that what you would watch to fall asleep would make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether it was old Perry Mason or it was Jurassic Park, it's just content. And you're already fucking up your eyes by putting light in them.
So right.
That's already screwing you up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I decided, and now that I'm about to say this out loud and admit it,
mm-hmm,
it really does sound stupid. But it didn't seem stupid at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, some people told me that The Pit was okay to watch. So maybe I'll watch The Pit. You know what The Pit is?
I went through this exact scenario. I ran out of shows, and I was like, oh, I'm really digging The Pit.
Yeah.
You can't watch that before you go to bed.
In bed.
No, I mean, I did the same thing. My last Insomniac episode was the first 5 episodes of The Pit.
Yeah. I wanted to watch like 5 minutes of The Pit.
Right? Yeah, no, yeah.
And you have to watch the whole episode. You have to watch the whole episode.
So,
and it is nerve-wracking.
Yes.
It's jangly.
How
can this be possible that we're both watching The Pit in bed?
Yeah. And I finished,
and this is another argument for why we should sleep together.
thank you.
Could we be next to each other going, are we both watching The Pit? We've got to stop this. And maybe together we'd be strong enough.
And then we just talk about hegemony, and we both fall asleep.
Say the word. Now, of course, the thing is, if you found that word,
yes.
Now let's talk about Brad Garvey for a moment, shall we? You know who Brad Garvey is?
No.
Brad Garvey's a nut, okay?
Okay.
Brad Garvey is Dana Carvey's brother.
Oh, yes.
Now, what you need to know about the Carveys is that Dana is the dumbest and least talented of all the Carveys. Okay, the Carveys are an amazing family,
yeah,
and the one they chose to put on TV is the least interesting.
That's crazy.
Okay, yeah. Brad Carvey.
And he'll tell you that.
You know what I'm saying? He will. Yeah, Dana leads with that, by the way.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I love Dana Carvey.
Dana's a wonderful, wonderful guy.
Yeah.
But the way I got to become friends with Tim Jennison, which a lot of people ask. Tim's Vermeer.
Yes.
Tim and I are very close friends. How do we become friends?
Yeah.
Tim Jennison saw our show on Broadway and said to Brad Carvey, who has a zillion patents, used to be a spook, but he doesn't talk about that time. So what'd you do when you were working over there? I did a government job. What'd you do? Desk job. How long did you do it? 6 years. What did you, what were you doing? What was your day-to-day job? Not much. That's all you get out of them, right? Okay. And he also is one of the people that invented stuff with Tim Jennison. He invented the video toaster. He did all, he's an inventor.
That's crazy.
And he is brilliant. And he makes Ready Rich. He makes Ready Rich look like, John Stewart. He is so fucking nuts, right?
Yeah.
So this is the way it happened. So Tim was talking to Brad Carvey,
mm-hmm,
and said, If half of what Penn says in the show on Broadway, if he believes half of what he's saying, I should be his friend. And he said, is there any way that we can meet Penn? And Brad said, well, my brother is going to open. He said, my brother can probably beat him because they were on Saturday Night Live together. So Brad called Dana, and Dana said, I bet I can open for them in Atlantic City. I bet I can get that job. And so all of a sudden, Dana Carvey wanted to open for us in Atlantic City.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. And sure, Dana's great. So Dana's our opening act in Atlantic City. And unbeknownst to me, Dana had said to Brad, you and Tim, we start Wednesday. Book a hotel room in Atlantic City. You and Tim book hotel rooms for Friday. And by Friday, I'll be friends with Penn. So we do our show Wednesday night. And Dana says afterwards, hey, you want to like get lunch and hang out a little bit tomorrow? And I go, yeah, sure, right? So I'm walking around with Dana Carvey all day. I didn't know him at all.
Yeah.
We get along fine. We're having a great, great time, right? And then Dana says the next day, you know, my brother and his friend are coming into town. Why don't we hang out with them? Right? This is all a plan.
Yeah, exactly.
All a plan. And this weird kind of turning friendship into a predatory event.
There's hijinks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I'm invited to Dana Carvey's suite to meet his friends, and there's Brad Carvey and Tim Jennison, okay?
Yeah.
So the four of us are in the room chatting, and Brad and Tim and I are getting along fabulously. Fabulously. It's just like the greatest thing ever. I mean, they were right to want to be friends.
Yeah.
Because from that moment till today,
yeah,
Tim and I are very, very close.
Right.
So we're talking about atheism, and we're talking about cosmology and the universe and time and so on. And Dana Carvey, this is the thing about brothers that I don't really understand. You probably do, right? Dana says, so you guys aren't even entertaining the possibility of a God as we were brought up with. You're not even, you're just considering that impossible, or you don't even consider it, or what are you doing? And Brad goes, Dana, if you can't keep up with the conversation, then you should just be quiet. That's the answer he gives his brother.
I mean, my brothers have said some harsh things to me.
Yeah.
But it's always the last thing of that conversation. Like, in other words, if my brother said that to me, I would have been like, fuck you, dude. And then I would have left.
Right. Well, what Dana did was Dana shrugged.
Yeah.
Said to Tim and I, this is what I grew up with. At which point Tim and I said nothing. Because we agreed with Brad. And Dana just went, well, I'm just going to go out and get something to eat. We said, okay. And my friendship with Dana Carvey, we are still very cordial.
Yeah.
I've done this TV show and everything else. But I remain closer to Tim and his brother than I would ever be to Dana.
Oh, that's so funny.
Really. But Brad Carvey, who I cannot emphasize how fucking crazy he is.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, and Dana said this many times. I'm not going to give anything that Dana hasn't said, including that the way his brother treats him about stuff. You know, Dana does impersonation of his brother during his act, and the big thing is, you know, the character Garth,
yeah,
in Wayne's World,
yeah,
that's his brother.
That's his brother.
Yeah, it's an impersonation of his brother, which Brad says, you know, he's doing a impersonation of me in Wayne's World, it's pretty good. You know, he doesn't see that character as some sort of off-the-wall fucking Three Stooges crazy character. He sees it as his brother doing impersonation of him.
Which is funny, and also, like, maybe the key to why that character can be likable through multiple films. Like, most sketch characters don't hold up in a film, right? Yeah. And that Garth character is definitely a character.
It's not,
he doesn't get three-dimensional with it.
No.
And that's what makes it carry it. Yeah. But the fact that, you know, that there's a secret to that character is probably maybe part of what makes it so likable.
But because he's Dana's brother, he knows people in show business. So Brad has been in a couple movies. Brad was playing, I forget what movie it was to be playing a homeless guy on the street. They just wanted him to be the homeless guy on the street. And he showed up for the shoot and said, what are you going to do? And they said, you're perfect. He got no hair, no makeup, no costume. He just laid on the street exactly the way he showed up.
Oh, my gosh. That's hysterical.
And he didn't even know what character he was going in for. I mean, you could not look more like a crazy homeless person. You know, he has that beard that's just totally all over the place.
Unmanaged. Yeah.
And really long hair. And the clothes he wears, it's one of those things that is like five layers of different clothes that don't go together. And he is clean, but you can't tell it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're near him,
he has hygiene.
If you're near him, he smells clean and his clothes are clean and everything's perfect in terms of hygiene. But if you saw him 8 feet away, you'd go, ooh, I don't want to get near him. He probably smells terrible, but he's just a nut.
Yeah.
Now watch the way this works, because this is pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
When Brad goes to sleep, Brad said, I read an article when I was in high school about how to fall asleep quickly, and I can fall asleep in 5 seconds.
No.
I just choose to fall asleep, and I can fall asleep. As he got older, he lost that skill. But when he got married, which was the first night he ever slept with somebody, presumably he'd had sex before, but he'd never slept the night till after he was married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they laid down in bed. And he said to his wife, boy, I love this story so much. He said to his wife, I fall asleep in like 5 seconds, and I have this thing I do to be able to fall asleep. And once I fall asleep, if I'm woken up, it throws everything off. So please say everything you're going to say to me now. And when you're done talking to me and we're ready to go to sleep, I'll just fall asleep and that'll be it. Okay. And she said, okay. And he said, do you have anything else to say? And she said, no. He said, then we're going to go to sleep. And she said, yes. He said, okay, good night. And he fell asleep. And she said, good night. And he went, oh, what?
Oh, no!
And what I thought when Brad said that was he found the word. He found the word, then as he got older, he forgot.
Yeah.
But he knew that word. I'll tell another Brad Carvey story because I love Brad so much, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Another Brad Carvey story. Brad was walking through the park.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a group of very, very intense religious people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big gathering, a public gathering. But not big. I mean, like a few dozen people. And they were gathering around sharing the joy of Christ, right? And they were telling stories. And one of them said that he had gone through a difficult divorce, and he was falling to pieces, and then he prayed to God, and God made it okay, and everybody went, praise God! And then someone else said that they had had a problem with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
They praised God. Praise God. So Brad took the floor.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Now, Brad is not part of their group.
Right.
Brad is certainly not Christian.
Yeah.
But Brad wanted to make an intellectual point. So Brad said, I was at a low point in my life. I was at a low point in my life, and I lost my job, and I didn't think I was going to be able to support myself. And then I found God, and I got another job, and everything was okay. Praise God! And then I had an alcohol problem, and I was addicted to alcohol, and I was drinking all the time, and I needed to quit. And I prayed to God, and I became sober. Praise God! And I was out fixing my lawnmower, and I didn't know how to run the engine. I was reaching up underneath it, and I it started up again, and it cut off two of my fingers. So I'd lost two fingers on this hand, and then I prayed to God, and they grew back. And they went, praise God. And he said, my new wife, we had a young child, 5 years old, Bobby, and he was hit by a car, and he was killed, and we took him to the funeral, and he was buried, and we missed him very much, and we prayed to God, and he crawled out of the grave, and he's okay now. And they said, hey, listen, this is not true. You're just making stuff up. And he went, where was I starting to make stuff up? Where did God not help? Where was that? Was that, where along the line was that? Did you stop believing? Where was it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
I haven't done it as well as he did it. But
right.
He had it all building up and for a very long time.
That's
very funny.
Ballsy.
Very funny. And when telephone solicitors would call him, I also love this, they would say to him, we want to talk to you about giving you a free gift. And he would say, it's against my religion to accept free gifts from strangers. I don't think that's right. And they would say, well, it's not really a free gift. And he would say, it's against my religion to talk to liars. Goodbye.
That's nice.
Yeah. He's Brad is a nut. But I was fat when he said that fall asleep in 5 seconds thing.
Yeah.
I said, well, tell me, what was the deal?
That's a masterclass right there.
Yeah. How to find your word.
Yeah.
A masterclass.
Bad Carvey. Fall asleep in 5 seconds. We would sell a lot of memberships.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And now a membership to a special add-on, fall asleep in 5 seconds, just $50,000. Boom, right? Everybody.
It's worth it.
If you could fall asleep in 5 seconds the rest of your life and stay asleep for the amount of time you wanted, what is that worth to you?
I mean, more than $50,000.
And there we have Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he spent a lot of money.
A lot of money. And eventually killed himself.
Yeah.
With it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So I guess with that, I should maybe adjust my budget. I should give it some limitations. Because an endless budget, you can accidentally kill yourself.
Because, boy, when you have a really good, deep, natural sleep, it changes everything.
Oh, it happens out of the blue, like, what, 3 times a year? Where it's like, yeah. You have a free afternoon, and you actually just fall asleep just on the couch or in a chair or something like that. And you come up from, like, the deepest sleep, and you're like, I go, how did I do it? Yeah. How can this happen more?
Here's what, we had a guy that worked with us on our crew.
Yeah.
And he was an interesting guy because on our second Broadway tour, okay, this old guy came on tour. Turned out that he had retired, but then his wife divorced him and his children moved out of town. So he decided, I'll go back on the road with the Broadway show. And he chose Penn and Teller. Now, I was just talking to Robbie the other day about this. And I said, how old was that guy? He said, well, younger than we are now.
Oh, jeez.
But he used to say that every morning he would get up,
yeah,
have a cup of coffee, read the paper, then go back to bed for 2 hours. And I thought that was insane, and I've started doing it. This morning, I got up at 7.
Yeah.
Did like an hour of stuff, went back to bed, slept 20 minutes.
Wow.
It was crazy, stupid. But I'll tell you right now, there's one thing we can tell you today that you can take away and be useful in life. Don't watch The Pit in bed to try to fall asleep.
It takes place in real time.
Yeah.
Every episode's an hour, and it's an hour in a hospital.
Yeah.
Every character is sometimes amazing, sometimes an absolute villain, or sometimes inept.
But there is something happening every second that the next second seems like you should be part of it. And you also feel it's morally wrong.
Yes.
I when this person's heart is stopped, I can't stop watching it.
It's really, like, they just cut to, like, A, B, and C stories, life and death.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. And even, like, the light C story is life and death.
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha. Here's this funny old guy that came in. Yeah. He's having a heart attack. Here's this guy that's really healthy. He's a runner. He does triathlons. He's funny.
Yeah.
He's charming. He's good looking. He's dead.
Let's pump the brakes a bit and just have a guy who's secretly leaning on the staff to give him painkillers. And we have to interpret the symptoms of someone who might just be a painkiller addict.
Yeah.
Versus, that's the pumped brake scene where you can take a deep breath.
Oh, here's someone that's just seeking drugs. Oh, she has sickle cell anemia.
Yeah, I finished the show, but I had to start watching it during the day. I have to finish the show. It's all I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
But I can't watch it at night.
No, you can't watch it at night.
No.
So they need to make, there must be, in the pitching of shows, when people go to Amazon Prime, they must be going, we'll have really good actors. The dialogue will be okay.
Yeah.
Story won't matter so that people can watch any length of time they want and then fall asleep. We'll buy it. I mean, isn't someone... Someone must be doing that on purpose.
Came to the pit and they're like, oh, no, actually, I was talking to this emergency room nurse, and I got every story, so we can use some of these. And the guy was like, no, all of them. Everything that's on that list is going in this season one. What are you going to do? I don't care. Every fucking idea we have is going in this one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, every single idea.
We've got the person pushing the other person on the subway.
Yeah,
the
person
runs down to save them, then falls back, smashes his head open. I think we can get, we'll spread that out the whole season.
Nope. Two episodes. I don't have time for it. I have other things to get through.
We have a person who all the skin comes off their leg and foot like a boot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll keep coming back to them.
I actually already put in an episode. It's already being filmed. And it's over.
Yeah. Now,
because there's one they bring up something from like two, three episodes ago. It's the same day. So like, oh, earlier today I heard this. I was like, Jesus, that was today.
And we got this problem with The Pit in that the head doctor, I don't know who we're going to get to act it because he has a lot of medical terms and a lot of putting together instruments and doing that kind of stuff. The actor will have to, let's get the guy who's already done it.
Yeah.
We'll get the guy from the ER.
Noah Wiley.
Yeah.
They actually said, he goes, I was hesitant to do it because I already obviously made my, cut my teeth with ER and it might, me doing
cutting teeth is actually one of the things they do in there. They've got a bandsaw. They cut teeth.
If you did, the drinking game of that thing, putting on gloves. All they do is take off and put on gloves whole time.
And then you're in the emergency room with alcohol poisoning in the first 10 minutes. But you were going to finish what...
he was listening. Like, I think it would hurt both my career end the show to add me to this because I already did ER and it seems like that would be like a bit of a reach. He's like, and then I read the scripts and I was like, I have to do this show. And I
only because no one else could say CC.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like it was because it was so good. It's like, no one else can say all this. There's only one actor in the world who can do this job and it's me.
Yeah. I struggled on ER.
Yeah.
And now I'm good at it.
No, I mean, if you're
in his resume, it says all medical terms, on and off gloves, easy.
And if you're, an actress, right? If they're like, here's the good news. This is not going to be an over-glamorized show like other shows. You're going to put your hair back. You're not going to wear a lot of makeup. You're going to be wearing just OR clothes the whole time. No fake cleavage like they've put in other doctor shows. Like, it's real stuff. Oh, that's awesome. What a great break for me. Here's your first page of dialogue. Oh, fuck. I have to rehearse this constantly. I have to say so much shit all the time. The conceit of the show is that it's a teaching hospital. So they pop quiz each other on everything that's going on all the time, and they all have to say the most complex medical jargon.
But while you're doing all those things, you're also going to be putting together complicated tubing.
Yeah, you're going to be working with real props and shit. Oh, the medical porn on that show.
Yeah.
If they can show the cutting of skin or the insert, there's so much just gory medical porn in that show as well.
And then there's also those weird moments when one of them looks directly at camera, which is so weird in this show, and goes, Matt, Penn, you're not sleeping.
you thought you were going to bed, pal?
No. Stay with us. Stay with us. Yeah. What is your name? What's your name? Matt?
Yeah.
Matt? Stay with us, Matt.
Matt.
Stay with us. Open your eyes, Matt. Focus, Matt. Stay with us. What's your name? Matt. Do you know where you are?
Jesus, yeah. Shoot. I do. I think.
I'm in bed trying to go to sleep. Exactly. Keep your eyes open. Watch us.
Yeah, I was trying to get through my last week of cruise ship shows watching that show. And I remember telling my wife, I was like, I have to stop. It's like ruining my sleep and my day. Like, I'm waking up in a bad mood. I'm walking around with this crazy sense of urgency on a cruise ship. I was like, I have to find another show to watch, and I'll finish it when I get home. And that's what I did.
What show did you find? Did you notice the desperation in my voice?
Yeah. What have I got? I got through. I tried a little bit of that De Niro show where he's the former president.
I was going to try that, yeah.
That's a good fall asleep show.
Good. That's all I need.
Yeah. That's good a fine fall asleep show. That's a good fall asleep show.
There will be a time when they will advertise that way.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we are probably our whole future getting rich. Yeah. We're talking about now and laughing it off.
Yeah.
Someone's going to listen to that and go, yeah. We'll do the fall asleep section of Amazon Prime.
Yeah. I don't write for one show. I just write the fall asleep scenes for every show. That's what my expertise is.
Yeah.
I try having two characters that need to have a certain conversation, but it turns out we don't care about what they're actually. If they say yes or no, it doesn't matter.
We have.
If they change their mind or don't change their mind, we don't care.
Actually, I'm editing five of these shows, and it's a weird job. As an editor, because I go in and go, can we have another four or five exchanges with these people that doesn't move the plot along? You know, I think we need a little more fat in this scene.
Yeah.
Let's think of this scene as Kobe beef.
Yeah. This character who we barely care about, they go home and we see them at home.
Yeah. Just walk in, put the keys down, turn off the lights.
We didn't. Pick up something on the way home he should have.
Yeah.
There's a little discussion with the wife. We don't care whether he does or doesn't have dinner.
Not at all.
We don't care.
Not at all.
So I got that scene in there.
But don't we say his name earlier in the script? Let's take that out.
So we want them when they get the scene, like, not only do I care if he has dinner, I don't know his name.
I don't know his name.
I don't know his name.
And let's not make it a wife or a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Let's just not know who it is.
Yeah. Her sister lives with the sister still, maybe?
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. Just someone who didn't get dinner.
Yeah.
And they're going to talk a little bit about whether they want pad thai.
Yeah.
Or whether they're going to go with just a burger.
Yeah.
No, I think we want another choice in there. Pizza? No, pizza. Sometimes people get interested in pizza.
A teen will enter and offer pizza. His child? We don't know. There's also a teen in the house who wants pizza.
Not a particularly attractive or unattractive teen.
Right. Yeah.
Just a teen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to seem like it's a bold casting where this person's supposed to erupt and become somebody. We don't want that.
No. And also, we don't want people fighting with their libido over whether it's okay to be sexually attracted to this
specifically teen sanctioned
so
person.
So they'll just be not particularly attractive or unattractive.
Layers.
We won't worry about them.
Very layered clothing.
Layered clothing, yeah. And you know what? We don't even need to know the gender of the teenager, do we?
Just the back of their head.
And not care.
Not care.
We don't know the gender, nor do we care the gender of the
Yeah. Just an over the shoulder of a flannel. The word pizza is heard. And I'm asleep.
I just heard pizza's my word. I just realized that there are not a small number of people who listen to this show to fall asleep.
Oh, shit, you're right. We've been doing the Lord's work the entire time.
Exactly. It's
now okay. Every Amazon show is going to be like, you know what? I'm going to put on Penn Sunday School and drive home. And then we've done our jobs. Yeah. Do people tell you that? People tell me that all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Sure. It's not a compliment. I don't feel better about myself.
I wonder if.
But I get it.
I wonder if there could be another tier of Patreon. Another tier where people, they get up with no ads. They get a video from me. They get, deals on books and stuff. Mm-hmm. They get book reports and so on. But we could have another tier where you and I go to their house. And as they're sleeping, we just sit in the room and talk quietly. Till they're asleep.
That would put people right out.
Yeah.
You know? Even if they're excited to meet you, that'll last, maybe 15 minutes?
Yeah. And they get all ready for bed. They're brushing their teeth.
Yeah.
We're sitting there. All we require is two chairs.
Yeah.
Right? They lay down in their bed and they start getting cozy. We talk.
Yeah.
So, this is nice.
It reminds me of one of my first improv shows in Red Bank, New Jersey.
Me. This was a real problem with ASMR as an industry.
Oh, right.
Because there's, a thousand more people per person that have insomnia than experience ASMR. So now the entire market is appealing to insomniacs and not ASMR people.
Oh, I see.
Oh, interesting.
And there are apps that have they have people like reading history textbooks, stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
To put you to sleep, yeah.
That works for people? That's dangerous. Because then what if you have to actually pick up someone from the airport and they're boring? And they start telling you about their favorite Civil War battle and suddenly you're veering off the side of the road.
It's also teaching us that nobody should ever learn history. So we will be doomed to be repeating it.
I feel like that lesson is learned. I feel like we're nailing that one.
You know, speaking of learning things.
Yeah.
Masterclass. Matt. Masterclass. Yes. Yeah. Lifelong learning. There's you become a member of Masterclass and you get all these classes, all these lessons, and lifelong learning, and you become more interesting. People will not fall asleep while you're talking.
Yes.
And you can take Masterclass on everything. I always like to point out that Penn and Teller do the one on magic, and Ready Rich just took one on how to be sexually attractive.
That's right.
Yeah. Also, stadium singing.
Yeah, I'm taking Malala's. Maybe you want to become an activist.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, who's it by?
Malala. She's the Nobel Peace Prize winner for women's poor women's education in foreign countries.
Now, see, this is something that's really good because Masterclass. It's not only booking that person because it's fascinating to learn from, but also because it's a good company.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's tied in with that.
Because one thing she says, she's like, maybe you feel the need to do something, but you can't figure out what you want to put around. She said something really interesting. I was really surprised. She goes, write down values you don't have. Write down things that you don't care that much about. Like, basically, like, get them all written down, like, get those out of the way.
Uh-huh.
So if other people work on stuff, you're like, no, I don't care about, nuclear energy or my water sources.
You're really afraid to say what you don't care about, aren't you? I don't care about children suffering anywhere in the world. Is that what you wrote down first?
XX.
Yes.
I put my kids back to work in the yard.
But there are 11 categories, over 200 instructors.
Yes.
And what are you studying now, Randy Rich?
As you mentioned, I took Shan Boudreau's Art of Sexual Attraction and learned I don't need to be sexy.
Okay. Oh, is that
that's
that
it. Limit office list.
Office
being
list.
Sexy. Yeah. Office list.
Making Randy Rich sexy off everybody's list.
Also, by the way, Randy Rich has clearly become sexier since listening to that masterclass.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
Want to make a book bet?
Anyway.
We're not watching The Pit.
No. You get class guides. You get, you know, PDFs come with it. The cooking stuff is amazing. If I wanted to cook, this would be a good way to learn
to
cook. Yeah, no doubt about it. And you can learn. And the really important thing is you can learn stuff that you don't care about that you all of a sudden care about. When you study things, you learn I care about this more than I thought I would.
Right.
And it also applies to other parts of your life. So if you want to do lifelong learning and be able to talk about something in dinner conversation with friends other than who's going to jail and how our country's falling apart.
Right.
If you want something else to talk about, this gives you that.
Or if you want to get better even talking about stuff, you take Amy Poehler's improv class, you're better at talking about anything.
In general.
Yeah.
In general. So you can just get 15% off right now by going to masterclass.com/pen. That's masterclass.com/pen. Yeah. I just said pen, which I don't usually do on today on a very,
very special
very special.
This is where pen might say pen.
So are you going to the AFAN walk on Sunday?
I am not. Because
on your list of things that are important,
I don't care about
people suffering of AIDS is on the list of things Matt doesn't care about.
My children are in a musical directed by my wife over at their school.
Boy, that's kind of a trifecta, isn't it?
Yeah, there's, I can't say. I really rather go walking.
Yeah,
over at UNLV. Or where is it this year?
It's at the baseball stadium.
The baseball stadium, Cashman.
It's nice. It's a Cashman?
No, not Cashman. Summerlin.
Yeah, Summerlin.
Oh, the really nice baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Aviators.
You walk around the outside. It's really nice.
That's gorgeous down there. Yeah,
it's really nice. And, you know, we raise money. I'm wearing the T-shirt right now. Can you sell?
It's a great. That's a great looking T-shirt for this year.
It is. And I'm going to go right from here. It's Friday that we're recording this. I'm going to go right from here over to the television station.
Yeah,
and I'm going to talk about the AIDS thing.
So now, this, every year you do this. Every year, you and Teller donate a shitload of money.
We have no control over that. See,
yes,
the long-suffering Glenn and the long-suffering Laura are either the head of AFAN or they're on the board of directors.
Yes,
so they just have meetings where they go, "Well, Penn and Teller will do this."
Yes,
and I don't think we've actually said we want to be part of the AFAN AIDS Walk for 30 years. I don't think we've been asked for 30 years. We just do it. And we're very happy to do it.
No, you guys do a great job. But you rally all the entertainers come out.
Yeah.
It's a very good, it's a very, it's one of the most consistent charity fundraisers we have. It's really great.
Yeah. It makes a lot of money. And the thing we always point out, which I think is interesting, is this is not for research.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to cure AIDS. This is to help people who are suffering with HIV-related problems, including bringing them food to their door and helping them fill out forms, whatever you have to do.
Afford medicine.
It just helps those people.
Yeah.
In Nevada, you know, we were over in, you know, we started Broadway Cares in New York, and we moved out here. And we didn't start AFAN, but we started as Grand Marshals very early on.
Speaking of the long-suffering Glenn, he's written us to make sure that you talk about Felony Jugglers coming out the first week of May.
Okay, Felony Jugglers coming out the first week of May.
Yeah. So the people who didn't get in on the Patreon discount, who didn't get the beautiful pre-order package that came with a sack of your balls.
People say it's really nice.
You're these lazier people who just want to get a regular old book the way they usually get regular old books.
Yeah.
Get it the first week of May.
May 6th, I think. Because I'm doing a thing here in Vegas on May 7th.
Yeah.
Or is it the other way around? Anyway,
you're, May 6th or 7th. You're doing a bunch of book events.
Over at Writer's Block.
Oh, that place is great here in Vegas. Yeah.
I will go there. And they said to me, you know, months ago, when we do these book readings. Will you juggle? I said, well, sure. And now I don't know what I'm going to do for that. I mean, I don't have a juggling routine anymore, really.
Right.
But I guess I'll talk about...
Just do your whole, I think, do your whole street bit.
Yeah.
So spend the first 10 minutes crowd gathering.
Yeah. And then I'll pass the hat at the end. It's funny, you know, Penn didn't really make any money off the book. But at the book readings, he was taking in about $10,000 because I was really good.
Akashic's trying to negotiate a percentage of the hat. To offset publicity payments.
But if you go, I think, you probably can pre-order at Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Yes. You can go to Amazon, and you can just type in felony juggler.
Yeah.
And I realized, I flew to L.A. this week to do, we did Rob Lowe's podcast. And Rob Lowe did the funniest thing, one of the funniest things I've ever heard of the podcast. He tried to name drop and forgot whose name he was dropping. He said, you know, Kenny Loggins is a friend of mine. He told me we got to meet. He said, I'm trying to name drop, and I forgot the name. And Rob Lowe also, I told him that a lot of the book was about hopping trains.
Mm-hmm.
He hopped a train.
Did he?
Yeah, with Christian Slater. He and Christian Slater hopped a train.
He, I mean... I don't know. Has he written his book, or I guess he does it all through his podcast? But this he tells PG versions of stories that are not clearly not PG. He was once banned from hanging out with the Lakers.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because he was partying with the Lakers too much, and the staff was like, "Our guys are being hungover at the games, and so we need to stop Rob Lowe."
But he has been sober for a very long,
very long time. Yeah.
He's a wonderful guy.
Charming.
Wonderful guy.
Charming guy.
Well, we also saw the handlers in the room.
Yeah.
Everybody put their heads down just like, oh, Jesus. Because first of all, I mentioned Dylan.
Mm.
Now, as soon as I mentioned Dylan, Glenn just, whatever control room he's in, he just puts his head down because he knows now the whole interview is going to be about Dylan.
Yes.
Right? But we didn't know the other part of the puzzle because Rob Lowe said, well, did you watch Dylan on the We Are the World, the night of pop music there? And his whole staff put their head down. Because apparently all he talks about is We Are the World.
Oh, that great doc that came out. Yeah.
That's all he talks about, is all the people in that doc. So when we had Dylan in the doc that he talks about, there was no mention of my book again. And he said... It's a pretty funny thing because he said, Dan Aykroyd, if Dan Aykroyd was in We Are the, why weren't you there? Why did they ask you? You'd be better than Dan Aykroyd. And then I said, I didn't know he was fishing for this, but he clearly was. I said, but me? What about you? Why weren't you there? Because you are better looking than Dan Aykroyd. And he said, oh, I'm better looking than almost all of them. And he said, and on top of that, that was the height of the Brat Pack. They needed a Brat Packer in there. I should have been there. I don't know why they didn't ask me. Why is Dan acting? He was getting mad. So if you get a chance to go back in time,
yes,
I think go back to We Are the World and get him in there.
Just like as a guy like setting mic stands, you know, like really make it the weirdest cameo ever.
Yeah. I think Dan Aykroyd's there because of John Landis and his connection with Michael Jackson, right?
Yes.
Must be. Because that's the big mystery of that.
Yeah.
The mystery is not why none of the money ended up in Africa. That's not. We all understand that completely. That's not a surprise.
We all became very aware. It raised a lot of awareness. We all became very aware.
Very aware. But boy, we talked about that a lot. As a matter of fact, if you're looking to fall asleep, I would suggest... Rob Lowe and I talk about We Are the World.
The Dylan We Are the World rabbit hole.
Yeah. That's a really good thing.
Yeah.
So I was in there and we flew in to do that and KTLA and a few other things. And we're getting off the plane and Glenn said in very serious terms, getting off the Jet Suite X with all the people around us waiting for their cars, Glenn goes, we got to talk about your felony appearances. And I said, Glenn, is that the way you should abbreviate it? He's, everybody's calling it felony. I mean, the book company, everything say, let's talk about the felony appearances. I said, well, that is another meaning. He said, oh yeah.
am I doing court?
he said, what do you call it, FJ? I said, no, felony's fine. Felony's fine, but we have to be aware that not everybody knows the name of the book. And of course, Glenn was going, and that's our job, to make everybody aware of the book. Felony juggler.
Yes.
Felony juggler. But you could also just say, I've got to look into Penn's felony. Felony juggler.
I don't know what the book's called. Is it Foot Job by Penn Jillette? Foot Job. I'm trying to find.
Is FJ Foot Job?
No, how would I know?
is that used in porn?
Yeah.
So it's either Foot Job or My Felony?
Yeah.
My Felony Foot Job?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know, because HJ is Hand Job, right?
And do you have a pogo stick in your book? Pogo? Jumping on a pogo?
Yeah. I don't understand what that means.
Oh, for a foot job. Never mind. I'm going too far with my own sexual metaphor. I'm feeling like a creep every step of the way.
Every step of the way. Wait a minute. I just woke up because...
Oh, no.
Matt Donnelly's talking about his sexual perversion. And that is at least as fascinating as someone losing their nose in a traffic accident.
You're also going out for your 50th anniversary.
Yep.
You got a lot of tour stops coming up.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, and also, you know, the exciting news.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in Philadelphia at the Academy of Music. On like May 12th or 13th, somewhere around there. 13th, I think. I'm in Jersey on the 12th, doing a book reading, 13th. Then I'm in Philly, right? And then I fly back to L.A., right? Then I fly back to Philly for another show.
Oh.
Now you say to yourself, why the fuck would Penn be in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Then have his next show, my next show.
In L.A.
It's in Philadelphia. No, no. Show in Philly, another show in Philly.
Yeah.
No shows in between. Why would I be flying across the country? Mm. Oh, here's something, an unrelated story.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan's playing the Hollywood Bowl May 16th. I got to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do.
As a matter of fact, my whole family's going.
Oh, that's going to be, I've never seen a Hollywood Bowl show.
Yeah.
People love it there, though.
I wrote to Dylan's office to ask if I could get seats.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, certainly, we'll set you up with whatever seats you want. And I said, I need 5. And they said, oh, we'll get back to you. but you know why it's 5 people? Because it's my entire family.
Yes.
And our cosmologist.
Oh.
Got to bring an astrophysicist along too. That's who we are. It's the Gillette family and an astrophysicist are all going. It's like walking into a bar, all going to see. But it's not just Dylan, and I think this is really important. My children will also see Willie.
Oh wow!
Because it's the whatever it is, the Outlaws tour. So it's John Cougar, Mellencamp, Costello, John McManus. You know, whatever his name is now. This is a reference from like the 1980s.
Well, John Cougar, and then John Mellencamp, and then John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah, but I think he's just now John Mellencamp.
I think so.
Yeah,
that's correct.
And so John Mellencamp, which is funny, he's the youngster on the tour.
Right.
Right. Because he's like what, 70?
But not via lungs. Lungs. He does not have the youngest lungs of the tour.
He does not have the lungs.
He has a change.
He was 6 packs a day.
Yeah.
And he was a guy who had to wake up to smoke.
That's so crazy.
His nicotine withdrawal would be so great, you have to wake up and smoke a cigarette and go back to bed. He knew his word. but it's John Mellencamp, Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson. Then there were 2 other acts. The show starts at 5 in the evening.
Man.
So I have to get up at like 6 in the morning in Philly and fly to L.A. to see a show that night.
When is this?
May 6th, whatever the Friday is. I think it's May 16th.
Wow.
Either 15th. I think it's the 16th, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm very, very excited to see Bob. And my children will see Bob. So my son has never seen a concert before.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, he's going to be seeing Bob Dylan, Weird Al, and Sabrina Carpenter.
That's pretty great.
That's a pretty great season of concert.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're going to go together to Bob Dylan and Sabrina Carpenter.
Oh, that, those would be great shows.
Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, I will get to see Sabrina Carpenter.
Right.
Whose show is physically more sexual than Bob Dylan's.
A little bit.
But not conceptually more sexual than Bob Dylan's.
Not even close.
No. But, Weird Al does, of course, the greatest show ever.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard anybody say about Weird Al that it wasn't one of the best shows they ever saw?
Nope.
Everybody says that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I'm hoping I can, but...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure where I'll see it on this tour. Oh, I got a letter of apology from Weird Al.
Really?
A funny but remarkably sincere thing from Weird Al that said, "Dear Penn, I'm sorry I made a couple of jokes about Bob Dylan. I think we should just take as a given everything he does is perfect. Sincerely, Weird Al." Because, you know, I told you.
Yes.
Yeah.
That means you really, I think, maybe felt bad about the interaction.
Maybe heard the podcast where I carried on about it. Because even Weird Al has to sleep. So, yeah, so I'm flying back to see Bob and Willie. I've seen Willie before. I've seen Bob before. I've never seen Mellencamp before.
It's been a minute, though, since you've seen Bob live, yeah?
Yeah, a couple of years, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of years. And been a while since I've seen Willie.
Right.
It seems to me, now Reddy probably knows more about this, I think Willie, his band is dying and he doesn't replace them. Is that what he's doing? Is that right?
I don't know.
Because I think his sister was his piano player for 70 years. And she died and now there's no piano player.
Oh my gosh.
And he had a second guitar player who died, and there's no second guitar player. So his band just keeps getting smaller as people die, which is not what George Clinton has done.
I was going to say, David Byrne is like, God damn. Why did I think of
that? But George replaces them with people who are cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
Because the kids are a captive audience.
Right.
Yeah.
George Clinton was at the Sunset Marquee when I was there in a wheelchair and still looking. You know, there's only so crazy you can look in a wheelchair. And that, George Clinton
did
it. Hit it.
He pulled it off. Yeah. Do you know where you're doing other shows? Philly? Where else are you going?
I don't know.
All right.
You know, it's Radio City is the big one.
That's the big one. That's in August.
Yeah. And then, of course, the London Palladium.
That's you go out for a whole English tour, or are you just going out for London Palladium?
No, we're doing, this time, we're just doing the London Palladium for like a full week. We're like a full week at the London Palladium.
That's the theater you wanted to play in England.
Yeah. No! I wanted to play the Hammersmith Apollo.
I was talking to...
And I now get notes from people, you know, musician friends of mine, people like that, who say, well, playing the theater you like most in the world, you know, when they're playing the Hammersmith Apollo, and you'll be playing the Palladium, right? Now, Glenn tells me I'm going to like the Palladium as much as the Hammersmith Apollo, but we know that Glenn lies to me. I mean, all the fucking time.
We hung out last night with Jamie Allen.
Yeah, what a wonderful guy.
Very wonderful guy.
I like Jamie Allen.
And he's saying the Palladium is a legendary place to play, not by reputation, but actual construction. That's just a beautiful theater. And so for doing magic, he said everyone can see everything. It's just even though it's remarkable in size, you can still see everything up close. It's very nice.
Well, you also know
that
I'm one of the few magicians that does not care about people seeing everything. And the Hammersmith Apollo has great acoustics because I do care about people hearing everything. But, you know, I'm still, the Penn & Teller show to me is still a radio show. I mean, I know that physical, visual stuff happens, but I don't care about it.
It's a carny show right now. What are you talking about? I went to your show last night. You guys might as well just keep the house lights on the whole time. It's a barnstorming show.
It's
right
a
now.
Tent revolver.
Everything right? you're doing involves the entire audience the whole time.
Yeah, we're doing that all the time. I'm not afraid anymore.
No.
You know, I used to, if you had me 20 years ago walk out in front of, you know, 2,000 people and just wing it, which is what I'm doing for a lot of this show, I would have been scared. Now I just don't fucking care.
No.
I get crazy people on stage. And I'm also picking people from the audience that you don't want, that you want the least.
Yeah.
Like, the one thing you don't ever want is like a teenage boy on stage. You never want a teenager on stage, ever.
Yeah.
I'm picking them all the time now.
Yes.
I just don't care.
You had a very funny teen with you last night.
Oh, he was great. He was my height.
Yes.
Red hair down to his shoulders.
Yes.
And a Weird Al t-shirt.
You just said, Penn Jr., come up here, please.
Exactly. Actually, he looked exactly like my son.
Right.
Who had his hair dyed red and it was down to his shoulders.
Oh, that's funny.
To Penn's point, I delivered some gear a couple of weeks ago, and the stack of Teller's props really did look like a clown show.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm using a pedal. Now, this is where all of our interests come together.
Yeah.
You saw the show last night.
Yeah.
And you heard Reddy's pedal.
I did.
On one of our bits. How did my bass sound through that pedal?
It sounded very good.
And did you happen to notice that I started to fall over once?
I did see that. I did see that. And I did see that not for a second. Were you going to not play the bass while you did it? Your bass stayed perfectly handled while you almost fell down.
Yeah, yeah.
Give up my insurance policy from $1 million to $2 million this month.
Changing, being on 1 foot operating a pedal for someone who has the balance issues I have is very difficult.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people think that I do the show drunk, because there's always two or three times during
drunk,
the show.
High.
Hi.
You start off like feeling the whole stage with your hand, and you do half of your monologue looking at a wall.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah.
Your opening monologue looks like a psychedelic exploration.
Yeah. And I'm also constantly,
everyone in town to see Dead & Co. is like, he gets it.
Also kind of falling over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm falling over, and I push against the wall sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told you this, during Dead & Co.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, people that see the dead one night, Z Penatella the next.
Yeah.
We had a guy, I have never had anyone have the body reeking of marijuana that this guy had. You could smell him 15 feet away.
That's too much.
I mean, how much marijuana do you have to smoke for that to happen?
More than the average amount. I mean, you have to really not want to remember anything you're going to see at either show.
Have you been to a dead show?
I have been to, yeah, right after Jerry Garcia died, and they had Bruce Hornsby
with
them. I went and saw one of those shows.
And did you want to remember any of it?
I'm struggling to remember some of it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I saw one dead show, and I didn't want to remember any of it. And it's funny because the original Dead had at least two very good musicians. You know,
yeah.
Jerry Garcia at the beginning and Phil Lesh, always good musicians.
Right.
But just the whole Dead experience wasn't a musically conducive. I mean,
doesn't seem like it's up your alley.
Sober musical.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm getting more and more pushing myself against the walls. And I don't know. But I bet there are some people that think I do the show high.
Yeah. Well, I saw whatever your mushroom show, your mushroom ear show.
Yeah, yeah.
You were high.
I was high then.
Yeah.
Noticeably high?
Yeah. Sorry, but yes. Yeah. I can tell you're on a lot of pain medicine.
A lot of pain medicine, yeah. You know, the funny thing is, and this is really funny.
Yeah.
But there have been a couple of shows where I had to be on a huge amount of pain medication.
Yeah.
And the show was really hard to do. It was hard to keep focused and get all the words and say all the lines and all of that.
Yeah.
But the bass playing was incredibly easy.
I'm about to follow up on your ear thing. Have you made big adjustments in your life so that doesn't happen again?
Yes. First of all, I don't clean the wax out of my ears.
Okay.
Because that was the important thing. To keep your ears really clean of wax, you allow mushrooms to grow in there. It's the wax that stops them.
Ah.
So don't clean your ears out because you make it.
It's your own kind of ear irrigation system. It slowly moves everything out of the ear.
But it's also the acidity mm-hmm. is such that mushrooms can't grow. Mm. So that's, I think that's the reason that wax is there. I mean, that's what is called teleological explanation, which is always never true.
Right.
Which is the reason for things. There's no reason. But one of the
survival mechanisms of
the way
we
evolved was for that reason. But I still wear headphones to sleep all night, which is a very bad thing. Keeps your ears a little hothouse.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't do that, but I do it because I'm trying desperately to fall asleep, but I shouldn't be watching The Pit. The worst show to follow. Have you watched any of the new season of Black Mirror?
Yes, I watched the first episode.
Oh, I just wrote to Charlie. I mean, I'm a very envious person. You know that.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't hear much envy. Boy, I want to be Charlie Brooker. You know, writing Kunk on Earth and then also writing Black Mirror.
Yeah.
You've kind of covered everything good.
Yeah. Yeah. So you watch the first episode of the new season with Rashida Jones and that Irish actor who's so good, whose name I forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, it's just, Charlie Brooker is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, Charlie Brooker is also, it's weird, but Charlie Brooker has that kind of humility that is honest.
Yeah.
It's not at all false. You say to him, you know, Black Mirror is like the greatest thing ever. And his action is, it's pretty good. I don't know if I can write anymore. I'm running out of ideas. That kind of humility.
Yeah.
But the other kind of humility, which is great, which I believe he believes, although it's not true, I believe he believes it. I said, you know, the Kunk thing is just amazing. He said, that's all her. You can write anything for her. And she does it and she's funny.
Oh, wow.
And I bet that's true.
Right.
But she would say different.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Because
you can't really write anything for her.
Yeah.
But he said it's an amazing experience. You just write something and it's always funnier for her than it is on the page.
Yeah.
Which is not the way most comedy writers feel.
No. No.
You know, I wrote a pretty good joke, but man, when it got up and going, it was a lot better. Who says that?
I do. But it's great. I can't believe he's still doing it. Like, here, that's not a fall asleep. That, I don't even mistake that for a possible fall asleep.
Right? Show. Yeah.
That's dedicated. Why? That's why I only watch one episode. Is that basically like on Saturdays, I watch something like of merit, and I'll.
Well, wait till you get to. I'll just tell you. Hotel Reverie.
I was gonna say, it's like I plan to watch something after Black Mirror when I watch Black Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll have to get through that and love it, and then I'll watch something less good to fall asleep.
Yep. Yeah. Hotel Reverie.
I've been hearing that one. Yeah, a lot of people.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really so beautiful. And there's one that's all just Paul Giamatti, which is not really fair to say because there's a woman in it who's also very good. But he's in five times the shot she's in.
Oh, wow.
It's just, it's not really one of those Twilight Zones. It's just one person.
Yeah.
But it has that feeling.
Ah.
You know, and that's how good Black Mirror got. They got Paul Giamatti to come in.
Yeah.
Because am I saying his name right?
You are.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
That's really not like me at all.
Say duck.
Duck.
No. Duck. All right. So we'll keep Paul Giamatti as the win for the day.
Duck doll.
Duck doll.
Yeah.
Poo poo the duck doll.
Poo poo the duck doll. Well, you're a lovely couple, but now it's time to play the game. I think we covered everything, didn't we? Do you have any shows coming up?
I'll be at the Magic Castle next week. I'll be at the Magic Saloon in San Antonio, May 12th through the 18th. I'll be at Cult Classic Brewing in Stevensville, Maryland.
That's not the Magic Brewery?
No. Cult Classic Brewing in Stevensville, Maryland, June 6th. Dickens Magic Theater, June 8th.
Magic Dickens?
Magic Dickens. Yeah.
Where's the Dickens
Magic? Summertime, you'll notice I play a lot of the Magic Theaters.
What's the Dickens Magic Theater?
It's out in Delaware. It's been open for 11. Richard Block runs it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it's a great space. It's a really fun place to do a show.
I'll tell you, you've come in on a really golden age of magic.
I definitely think so.
And I wonder what usher that in. I guess there's a TV show that
if you go on YouTube, I guess it maybe shows one TV show more than the others. Yes. And also at the same time, comedy got wrapped up in the political sphere. It used to be comedy was your time out from politics. Like, let a comedian talk and just let it go. Like, let's clock out and just and let the comedian make fun of all of us.
Yeah.
And now you have to be on one side or the other, even if you're a stand up.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
You know, Glenn was talking about our competition in Vegas for the Magic Dollars and said, you do know that you created almost all of them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Our fault. Well, I'm going to go on TV and talk about the AIDS Walk.
Yes.
And I'm sure I'll see some of the people who are listening now at the AIDS Walk.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, it's a time when you feel like you're helping people, and that's always a good feeling.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's good that you made your list, and one of the things you don't care about is people suffering with AIDS.
That's right.
Yeah, that's on your list of things.
I do care about grade schools making money off of Aladdin Jr.
Is that what it's called, Aladdin Jr.?
Yeah, every musical has a junior version for schools to do.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Yeah. They take out all the crazy hot sex that Aladdin and Jasmine and put it in there, yeah. My youngest is playing Gilbert's role, which is very exciting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he study Gilbert to try to get it?
We did. I'm debating whether I want to play that, play the album for them. I think I want to.
Oh, you mean the Still Screaming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of it's a little bit...
It's a little much.
A little bit much, but they...
But I feel like if there's anyone to introduce, like if... I don't know. I debate this, right? You must have gone through this with your children. Do you want, like, to have... Like, we watched our first episode of South Park together. They weren't allowed to South Park, but it happened to come on when we were in a hotel traveling. Mm-hmm. So we all just buckled up and watched South Park, and it was very inappropriate.
Uh-huh.
But we really laughed as a family, and it was really funny. And then my kids kept doing callbacks to the episode through the rest of the vacation, and it was really funny to me. So I liked that experience. So I was like, should I just have them buckle in and listen to Gilbert?
Well, you know, there's the internet. So
that's it, right?
Yeah.
So like, I'm like, it's like, I know it's like dumb, but like, you know, exactly. You go down this, you're going to hear all this crazy humor stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, maybe.
Might as well hear it done right.
Yes. Gilbert's like, why not? I want them to be like, I want as a memory, be like, Dad played as Gilbert. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think that would be like a thing I'd want them to say
mm-hmm.
when they talk about their inappropriate humor that they're definitely going to have the rest of their lives.
Well, you know, with I think everyone now is asleep.
There you go.
So we can close now. That was Penn Sunday School brought to you by Masterclass. .com/Penn. That's masterclass.com/Penn. And you can get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/Penn. And that was Penn Sunday School. That's your chop. You become naked. I miss those two. No, we love you. Hey, Matt Donnelly, you got anybody to thank?
I do. I want to thank the people who get Patreon-only feeds with ad-free episodes. Great people like Michael Halpin, Kevin Merriman, Ryan Boshier, Jay Edmo, Craig Crawford, Charles Johnson, Vanessa Blanks, Tony Bunyan Snipe Johnson, Matthew Simino, Galactic President Scooperstar McScoops-a-Lot, Josh Zero, Ben, Harry the Gorilla-gician, my foolish episode aired. It's official. You're a TV magician now, Harry. Kevin Burke, Old Bear Greg, show us the unedited Hondro and Piff Trojan horse trick. we've asked, Scoop Fest is coming up in September, and we've asked Piff to go through a live play-by-play of the unedited version at Scoop Fest, so that might be your only way to see it. No Shit Sherlock, Cactipides, Stephen Bricegirdle loves the new website.
Oh, good. It is a good website.
Yeah, PennSundaySchool.com. Check it out. Coach Rat Bastard, Vito Quattro Formaggi, David, I want to figure your cunt, Brenner, Sagebrush, Luke Mellon, Sean Doonan, Jason Andrew Davidson, Peter B. Clark, Matthew Williams, Brad Sherlag, Steve Feldman, Jonathan P., NewRuleFX.com, Robbie Neely, Danny Insert Meta Joke Here Ruse, Tiny Sun Unit Dylan, Adam Stickney, Sax Guy Jimmy D, Nathan Julian, Jeremy in Shanghai. I resemble that remark. Daniel, falling on hard times again, but you are keeping me going. Love you all. Love you too, Daniel. Nice. William Wengreen, Batman, David K., we are alive for Hondro to be in a horse suit. Brandon Knapp, Nick Dingman, Colin Durham, Susie Felber, Lancey Menchu. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.